Jesus, the Son of God, always spoke the truth. Among many things he said was, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Is this true or false? Well, you know the answer. But Jesus also said, "Peace I leave with you." When we know him, without question, his peace always compensates for the tribulation. Christ concluded his farewell discourse, recorded in John 16, with several statements that are difficult to understand. Verses 25 through 33 are not without mystery. We shall delve as deeply as the Holy Spirit may permit, but we must depend wholly on him for his wisdom. Now, there seems to be a distinct shift of thought between verses 24 and 25, where Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." What time was Christ speaking about here? Was it the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, or the church age following his ascension and continuing until his return? Well, the evidence seems to point to the latter, for what Christ taught his disciples following his resurrection was not, in general, any different from his previous teaching. But since our Lord departed, and since the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the third person of the Trinity has been anointing the hearts and minds of followers of God with spiritual understanding. Though the Scriptures have not been changed, yet more and more the Holy Spirit seems to be unfolding the truth before our eyes as prophecies are fulfilled and as the works of God are manifested. Now, the word for Proverbs, as used here, could also be translated parables, referring to something which appears obscure or difficult to understand. Frequently, the Old Testament prophets did not comprehend what they wrote. Yet, through the enlightenment that Christ gave, the disciples were able to understand. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 17, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Christians of our day are able to see and hear many things which Christ's disciples were not able to discern. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 gives the reason. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." As men and women yield themselves to Christ's control, the Holy Spirit makes the things of God real to them. Now Jesus went on to say in verses 26 and 27, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." Because the Holy Spirit not only prompts believers to pray, but also leads us in our specific requests, it is unnecessary for Christ to plead to the Father for these requests. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit," Paul wrote in Romans 8:27, "because he," that is the Holy Spirit, "maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Prompted by the Holy Spirit, we have the privilege in Christ of going to the Father directly. This is based upon God's love for us, our love for Christ, and our belief in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us consider these three requisites. First, prayer is made possible through the love of God. None of us deserves answers to prayer. Like our salvation, prayer is the result of God's unchangeable love. Then secondly, those who would reach into heaven to enjoy the blessings of prayer must love Christ. To love Christ means obedience to Christ, a constant willingness to submit to his control. And finally, We must believe in Christ as the incarnate Son of God, the one who came from heaven, born of a virgin, to die on the cross and rise again to be the Redeemer of all who believe on him. Those who pray thus will find the windows of heaven opened and a continuous stream of blessing. Then in verse 28, Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Our Lord's statement seemed to clarify some of the confusion in the minds of the disciples. They said, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. But considering the events that transpired a little later, one wonders if they believed more with the head than with the heart. Faced with persecution and possible death, they doubted. Christ realized the superfluity of their statement. Thus, his question in verse 31, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. That's also verse 32. Soon the disciples revealed the weakness of the flesh and shallowness of their belief. At the hour of Christ's greatest need, they forsook him and fled. How important it is that we permit the great searcher of hearts to examine us, to reveal our inconsistencies to us, so that we might say with sincerity of heart, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Christ reminded his beloved ones of their lack of confidence and trust in him, as well as the danger of profession as opposed to practice. Now he reveals why he spoke in this manner. Verse 33, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. The disciples were to face many trying days, but if they could keep their minds and hearts stayed on Christ, His wonderful peace would be their reward. All of us need this peace, for, as Jesus said, In the world ye shall have tribulation. Neither believers nor unbelievers are excluded from the tribulations of the world. We shudder at the thought of being plunged into sorrow, sadness, and tragedy. But it is to be expected. Jesus said, In the world ye shall have tribulation. But he did not stop there. He said, But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. To know Christ has overcome the world is indeed a message of cheer and consolation. When Jesus said, I have overcome the world, he was speaking of the great victory to be achieved in a matter of hours when the prince of this world, Satan, would be cast out. Satan was to become a defeated foe so that victory could be provided for all who would fully trust Jesus Christ. Though surrounded with tribulation, one may possess perfect peace within because his relationship to Christ, the Son of God, makes this peace eternal. I hope you've trusted in Christ. If you never have, do it right now. Father God, may your Holy Spirit prompt some to move toward you. May they trust Jesus, the Son of God, and find in him everlasting peace. We pray this in his holy name. Amen.